Well, today is a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. So glad you're joining us today. We've been going on a series called Habits of Joy. And this is part number 7. And this is probably my favorite part of the book of Philippians. And we're going to be talking today about generosity. And the Lord loves generous people. And we know that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I always try to prove this point to people. And I ask them this simple little question. Would you rather be a person A who has to go ask somebody to borrow $5? Or would you rather be person B who has an extra $5? If somebody asks you for that $5, you can give it to them. You know, this morning as I was driving here for the broadcast, I stopped by and I see an old friend. And his old friend needed some help. And so I stopped by a food line and got him a gift card to help him and his family during this time of the year where we celebrate Christmas and the New Year. And I wanted to bless him not because of how he would receive that, but I got a blessing out of that because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I think about generosity. As I'm doing this broadcast, I just got a text message and somebody said, hey, does the church need an ice maker? And I said, we sure could use an ice maker. And the text came back, says, you got one? I'm going to work it out for you. You see, people are designed to give. The verse in the Bible that is the most popular verse, God so loved the world that he gave. James L. Kraft, who started the Kraft Corporation, Cheese Corporation, said this, the only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasingly dividends is the money I have given to the Lord. Hey, I want to encourage you to be generous with your money, and we could always use your support for this broadcast. And this is a broadcast that is a ministry of Hickory Ridge Community Church, but if you'd like to have a part of it, we invite you to have a part of that. You can write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and our address is 3320 Battlefield Boulevard, South Chesapeake, Virginia, or you can go online. If you go to www.hrcc7.org, you can give that way, and we appreciate you supporting this broadcast, and we don't do it for the money, but it does cost us money to get this message out to you each and every day, and we're so glad to have a part of it. So let's talk about generosity. I want to begin with a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Paul is the author, and he says, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches of Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy. Now, how does this happen? How can you be poor but filled with abundant joy? He says it's joy that overflows in rich generosity. There's the key right there. Verse 3, he says, for I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it from their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege in sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped. First, they gave of themselves, and then they gave them to the Lord what God wanted them to give. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. Now, as you're listening to me today, you say, well, you are probably gifted as wanting to give. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not a giver by nature. Well, welcome to the club. I'm not by nature a giving person. I come from a very stingy family, right? I used to kid around and think about how cheap my family was. I said, you know, my family, we're so cheap that when we walk, we squeak. That's how cheap we are. I had a lady who one time told me, she says, Pastor, I'm so cheap that I could take a buffalo nickel and I can squeeze it so tight that it'll cry pennies. Now, I know maybe you listen to this broadcast and say, oh, no, this is going to be a sermon all about the fact that I should be giving. And I want you to know that liberality does not come naturally for anybody. It's given to us by God's grace. Now, some of us have a harder time learning this grace than others, but every one of us should be committed to being a person who is generous. That is a person that's motivated by love, not a sense of obligation. We put our money where our heart is. Our money, Jesus says, is where our treasure is. He says, follow the money. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that each one of us must give as he's decided in his heart. Not reluctantly, not uncompulsional, because God loves a cheerful giver. Well, let's talk about this habit of joy and some things that we can do to have this generous spirit. I think we ought to be generous, first of all, because it spreads the joy. We just came through the Christmas season. Luke 2:10 says that Jesus, when he comes, will cause great joy for all people. Philippians 4:10, and this is a Message translation, says, I'm glad in God for happier than you would ever guess, happy that you're again showing such strong concern for me, not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me. You just never had a chance to show it. Paul's saying here that he is excited about the fact that they are showing him love, that joy being given to him by a generous spirit. You think about that word talking about joy. It could be translated to be revived. They were revived, filled with joy as a result of giving. In Acts chapter 20, Paul said, remember the words of our Lord Jesus. I'm sorry, Luke said, remember the words that our Lord Jesus himself said, there's more happiness in giving than there is receiving. You see, when you love somebody, you want to spread that joy with that person. Philippians 1:7, going back to the beginning of this series, Paul says, every time I think about you, I am giving thanks to God for you. Thanksgiving, giving back generously out of a heart of gratitude. He's saying, I'm giving thanks to you because you received the message of the cross. You received the gospel. So we should be a generous people, because as we're generous, we are actually spreading the joy. Here's the second reason why we ought to be generous, is because it demonstrates my priorities. Where my money goes shows what is really important in my life. I have this opportunity to honestly look at my priorities and realizing that giving is a privilege and it's not an obligation. I have this opportunity to give. Bob Hope said this, if you haven't got any charity in your heart, you have the worst kind of heart trouble. That heart is a heart of selfishness. In Philippians 1:10, it says, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live a pure and a blameless life until Christ returns. He says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done for me. You see, getters generally don't get happy. Givers do. Those who give, we're told to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, in all your strength. So as we look at spreading joy and we look at being generous, we are spreading that joy. We also learn that where our generosity lies is where our priorities lie. Thirdly, we learn today that it makes me productive. I love how it's written in Philippians 1:11. Check this out. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. Verse 4 and 5 of Philippians chapter 2. Don't look out for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Jesus was a giver. One of the reasons I love to be generous is because I think about just how generous God has been to me and how much he has blessed me. You know, through the years, I have given people cars. As a matter of fact, I've probably given 4 or 5 cars away in my life. And the reason I have done that is because people have been so generous to me. People have blessed me. I have received cars. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to give a car away. And as a result of that, and I didn't do it to get a car, but people have always blessed me in so many abundant ways. You see, when I help others, I'm actually helping myself. I think that you can ruin a person by not teaching that person to be generous. Be generous with everything. It makes you productive. Paul talks about the fruit of your salvation. We're going to start a new series in just a few days, and it's going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk about Christian smoothies, right? Mixing the fruit together and being a blessing to others, helping out one another. Somebody said this, Winston Churchill, the British Prime Minister, said, we make a living by what we get. we make a life by what we give. Helping others, looking for opportunities to be a blessing to others, it will make you more productive. God will open up opportunities for you that you never thought were possible if you're a generous person. Number four, we ought to be generous because it grows the kingdom profits. Philippians 4:17 says, though I appreciate your gifts, what makes me happiest is the well-earned reward that you will have because of your kindness. You see, when we learn to give, God trusts us with more and rewards us both on earth and in heaven. You know, salvation, without a doubt, is a gift that once received, grows and is worth more after we receive it and after it's given. The kingdom principle is also true here on earth. If you work hard and you maintain the right attitude and you are wise in the things that you do, you're going to make a profit. Paul is really appreciative of the gifts that the Philippians gave him, but what really fills him with joy is knowing that the gifts they gave will one day be rewarded. The New American Standard Bible of Philippians 4:17 says, I'm eager for the profit that accrues on your account. The Contemporary English Version says, I want you to receive the blessings that come from giving. I wish I could express to you in words how much of a blessing it is to be a generous person. Paul gave young Timothy a warning in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says, for as for the rich in this present age, I think that's all of us. If you're listening to this broadcast, you are part of the rich people, okay? He says, charge them not to be haughty, not be filled with pride, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us for everything that we have to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to serve, storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation in the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. What is Paul saying? Paul is in essence saying, if I can summarize this down, he says, do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. You can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. As you invest in the lives of other people, especially when it comes to investing and getting the gospel out, you are setting it on ahead. You are storing up a treasure in heaven. And God will bless you in heaven. In Proverbs 14:23, it says, in all the toil, there's a profit, but mere talk tends to lead to poverty. 1 Timothy 6, Paul continues on, and he talks about the fact that those who have that money should use it to do good and to help those who are in need. Always be ready to share with other people. You see, when you give it away, it multiplies. We know this from a purely materialistic standpoint. If you have money and you stuff it under your mattress, it can't grow. But if you invest that money in a retirement, in a 401k, or if you invest it in some other means, that money can grow. Money only grows as it is passed on or as it is invested. Generosity is the same way. I find that if I'm generous with my time, God makes me more productive with my time, and I can get more things done. Here's another thing about generosity that I don't want you to miss. As you go to work and as you go to church this weekend, giving is an act of worship. Your gifts, Philippians 4:18, New Living Translation. I love the sound of this, right? Your giving is a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. You see, at the worship service, when the offering plate is passed, or however they do the offering at your church, as you contribute, even if you contribute online or however you do it, that is sending up a sweet fragrance up into the throne of heaven. You know, when my kids were younger, they would be in the nursery, and I could always tell who was in the nursery, because when my kids would come back to me, they would smell like the perfume of the lady who was working in the nursery that Sunday, and that sweet fragrance would come back. And I would say, oh, so-and-so was in the nursery today. And they said, well, how did you know that? I could smell her perfume on my baby. You see, when we give, it makes a sweet fragrance unto the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver, somebody once said, but he'll take it from a grouch. I think that you ought to be generous. I think you ought to be cheerful about giving. Isaiah 56 says, I will bring these people to my holy mountain, and I will give them joy in the house of prayer. The offerings and the sacrifices that they place on my altar will please me, because my temple will be called a house of prayer for people in all nations. Harry S. Truman, as you know, is our 33rd president, He said this, "It is through generous giving that we affirm before the world our nation's faith in the inalienable right of every man to live a life of freedom, justice, and security." Robert Murray McShaney, a Scottish pastor, said, "There are many hearing me who know well that they are not Christians because they don't love to give. To give largely and to give liberally, not grudgingly at all, requires a new heart. You see, real joy is found in not what you get, but what you give." I want to encourage you today to be a generous person. If your heart is having a hard time with this message, maybe, just maybe, it's because you don't have a new heart. Maybe today you need to understand the importance of being a faithful giver, and it begins by understanding who Jesus is and having a relationship with him. When you think about your relationship with Christ, where are you with him right now? Do you need to pause right now and to invite the King of the universe to come into your heart? If you do, you can say a simple little prayer, and the prayer goes like this, "Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I fall short of your glory for my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I, by faith, accept the free gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen." Hey, if you just prayed that prayer, welcome to the family. I'm going to pray that God will begin to take that heart that was a heart of stone and now make it a heart of flesh. I'm going to encourage you to get into a good Bible-believing church where you can grow in your faith, where you can become more like Christ in everything that you do. As you think about being more like Christ, it involves being a generous person. So many things hold us back from being a generous person. Philippians 4:19 says that God shall supply all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So many times people tell me, "Well, Pastor, I would be a more generous person, but I don't have the money to be a generous person." Hey, I want you to know, God's going to bless you if you put him first. I told one person one time, and I wasn't trying to be flippant about this. I was trying to be as sincere as I possibly could. I says, "If you think that giving 10% is maybe too much, maybe you should ask God to lower your income to a level that you could give that 10%. That person kind of looked at me kind of funny. And I says, "You know, the cost of living is always the same. Benjamin Franklin said, the cost of living is always the same. It's everything I got." And I want you to know that if God has given you a little bit of increase, he expects you to give a little bit back to him. And when you do that, he will allow that to grow. The Israelites went through a whole difficult time of going through plagues. And part of the reason they went through that difficult time is because they were disobedient with God. They were disobedient in making the sacrifices that they were supposed to make. They were disobedient in practicing giving. They were not generous. As a matter of fact, as you look at throughout the Old Testament, there's a series of ups and downs that they lived. It seems like they would live right, God would bless them. Then they would go and the prosperity would get to their head, and then God would have to do something else to turn them around. I want you to know that you and I live by faith, not by figures. Over 3,000 years ago in the Old Testament, they were commanded to practice the Passover. You see, God wanted them to break down that middle wall between Jews and Gentiles, and he did it through his son, Jesus Christ. As you think about communion, I'm sure your church will be practicing communion. Many churches do it every Sunday. Some do it once a month. Our church does it as we feel we're ready for it, about every 5 or 6 weeks usually. You think about communion. Communion is understanding the Passover and what God did in setting the nation of Israel free from Egyptian bondage. You see, Pharaoh wasn't too happy about letting the Jews go free. And you know, but God has a way of always getting us to do the right thing. So God sent 10 plagues to Pharaoh. And as you look at that story in Exodus chapter 12, it is a fascinating story. And that story is such a fascinating story because God breaks through a hard heart. I pray that God will break through your heart today and that it will soften your heart to spiritual things. 10 plagues went into the nation of Israel against Pharaoh, and God finally softens Pharaoh's heart and he lets the people go. But then his heart immediately goes back to being hard-hearted again. So don't live by the figures, live by faith. Part of the Passover meal that is very interesting to me is that when the dad would come home, he would get all the leaven from the house and he would collect it. put it into a napkin, and if there was any leaven that was found, they would burn it. In 1 Corinthians 5, and I want to kind of close our time together with this passage, Paul says, you know, you boast about a lot of things, but your boasting is not good. He says, don't you know just a little yeast, a little leaven will cause the whole batch of dough to be effective? He says, get rid of that old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ is our Passover lamb. He has sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep that festival, not with that old bread that was leavened, filled with malice and wickedness, but with that unleavened bread. Today, I want you to know that if your heart is hardened, God will take you just as you are and just soften that heart of yours. Maybe you're driving down the road and you say, man, life's been tough, and the toughness of life has started to impact me. I realize that I got to turn some things around in my life. I got to do some things a little differently. I've been harboring a whole lot of bitterness, a whole lot of resentment, and it's holding me up from being a generous person. I've become miserable because I've become so miserly. Oh, let me tell you, the joy of the Lord of generosity, a cheerful giver, is pleasing to the Lord. Why don't you let go of that bitterness? Why don't you let go of that hurt? Give it to the Lord. Ask Him to fill you with a heart of generosity. So, Lord, we close our time together, and we thank You for the Word of God that sometimes challenges us, but always comforts us. We thank You that it instructs us on how to live. We thank You for the opportunities that we'll have this weekend to be a generous giver and to be not only generous with our time and our talents and our treasures, but in every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.
Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. We are so excited to be sharing God's Word with you with hope for your heart. And as we conclude 2019 and we begin 2020, I wanted to give you an offer that I hope that you'll take advantage of. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is called the Prince of Preachers. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year. And I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase, doesn't matter. Hope for your heart, no spaces, at HRCC and the number 7.org. You send me an email, give me your address, and I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500. 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Fridays, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, will be put in the mail. And if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade. If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in. And we would love to be a blessing to you. So feel free to reach out to us. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, this is a brand new endeavor for us as a church. You are welcome to make a gift to this ministry. You write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and everything that you give would go toward the cost of broadcasting. And we thank you in advance for supporting this ministry, but I'd really like to hear from you. So take just a moment and reach out to us either through phone or email, or send us a letter in the mail, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. You are such a blessing to me, and you're more of an encouragement than you will ever know. God bless you. I hope you have a prosperous new year.